In the name of the Father, and Son, Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Today we celebrate one of the minor feasts of the Lord, which is the Feast of Transfiguration, where we find the Lord Christ is revealing His glory to His disciples on Mount Tabor. And today we are going to speak about things to remember about seeing God. This is a desire in every human heart to encounter God and to see Him, to deal with Him. This is sometimes something we long to, and this is what makes eternity has extra value, because there where we are going to see God at all times. So we'll talk about different levels of the experience of seeing God and also the hindrances to this experience. So first of all, let us remind ourselves with what the Scripture tells us, that God cannot be seen, speaking about the divine. God is a spirit. This is something that's beyond our ability even to comprehend. When Moses requested to see Him, God responded, "You cannot see my face, but no one shall see me and live." We cannot imagine God has a face like us. He's a spirit. Whenever He say my face, He speaks about His essence. So He's telling Moses, this is something not attainable. You cannot see this. It's not because God is hindering him from seeing, but because this is something that no human being can endure. God, though, He is not to be seen in His glory, but He chose to show Himself in different forms in the Old Testament. And by showing Himself, He is taking a form like the visitors who came to Abraham, came with two angels in a form of a man. This is not incarnation, becoming a human, but taking the form in order to show Abraham himself and speaking with him like a friend speaking to his friend. Like the angel who appeared to Jacob and fought with him throughout the whole night, it's another appearance of God. And every time we hear appearance, we know that this is speaking about the Son. He is the one who reveals to us God. God the Father cannot take a form, is not going to be revealed to us in any form that we can understand or comprehend. Also, when Moses saw the flame in the bush, it's another manifestation of God also showing Himself in a form of the flames of fire. All of these were forms of appearance of God to us in the Old Testament. Until the New Testament, when God the Son took a form of a man, and here speaking about being incarnate, a true human being came through the womb of St. Mary. And we hear St. John declares to us this when he says, "No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him." We can understand this with the likeness of the sun, the star. The star itself, no one can put his eyes in it. Otherwise, even from distance, this can cause great harm to our eyes. But we know the sun through the ray that come to us. We understand what the sun is composed of, what the star is doing by just examining the ray. So the ray that appears to us tells us about the star. It's exactly like the incarnation of the Lord Christ. He declares to us God the Father. But after all, even though Christ came to us, He came in a form of a servant. This glory that we will know Him with was not manifest except in certain occasions. There are three different experiences or levels of seeing God. The first level is seeing His glory, seeing God glorified. Like today, when we hear in the story of the Transfiguration, how Christ, when He appeared on the mountain, He looked different. His face was shining and His clothes were glistening. And by the way, this is not the glory of the divine. This is the glory of His body, the glorified body that we will see Him at the end. And by the way, the same glory will be granted to us. We will look like Him in the last day as He looked on the Mount Tabor. So this is an experience that's very exceptional. We see it happening in few occasions in the New Testament, like after the resurrection, when He appeared to St. Paul. St. Paul says, "I saw light," and Christ was speaking to him through this light. And also some other occasions when he appeared to his disciples after he rose from the dead. This is an exceptional level. And actually, we ought not to request to see God on this level for different reasons. God actually wants us to know Him through faith and through personal experience, not with our eyes. He wants us to know Him and experience His presence, but not on this level, because this is up to Him if He is going to show Himself or not. A good reason for why actually we should not ask to see God in this kind of form, because God's appearance equals judgment. If you are righteous, you will enjoy His seeing. But if we are to be blamed for something, I don't think that this is something we ought to request. People saw God's glory in the Old Testament, and this revealed judgment on them, as we hear in the story about the rebellion of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. It says, and Korah gathered all those people, they desired to be priests, and they struggled with Moses and Aaron, and they said to him, why you are exalting yourself above the assembly? We are all holy like you, we are all to be priests like you. Then we hear this in Book of Numbers, and Korah gathered all the congregation against them at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Then the glory of God appeared to all the congregation. Very exceptional occasion when God is showing His glory to everyone. But when He appeared in this form, some people were justified, this is Moses and Aaron, and some others were condemned and judged. So we should not actually be seeking this kind of revelation. God, let me see you in the body. His appearance or His glory declares judgment. We are not sure if we are all are ready for this. And again, this is not God's desire, that we know Him now while we are living on earth on this kind of experience. The second level of seeing God is understanding His will. We understand this when we hear the words of Job, the righteous, at the end of his story, when he started to comprehend God's will and the wisdom behind his trial. Then he says this very famous verse, I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. He did not see him with the literal sense, but he understood his will. As if all of a sudden his eyes are open. Now I understand what you are doing. And this happens to us also in the same way. When we are suffering or going through tribulations, our eyes at that time are not able to comprehend, and we find difficulty in understanding God. When we submit and we accept and we ask Him to reveal His will, once this is achieved, we come to the point of I surrender totally to God, then we can share the same words with Job. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. It's an experience that we all desire to attain, to understand God's will, why God is doing what He is doing in my life. Sometimes we go wondering for days and weeks and months, years, asking ourselves why this is happening. Why God is doing this? Once we come to realize His goodwill, then our eyes will be opened and we will experience God on this level. The third level of seeing God is by recognizing His presence, that I recognize God is here. And this happens in many ways. One of the ways is to see His work. And through His work, we recognize that this is His work and we feel His presence. It's exactly like you look at the artwork in the church and recognize there is a talent. There is someone here who is so talented, who is able to do all of this. Maybe you don't know him in person, but just seeing his work make you to recognize his presence. There is someone who is able to do all of this. Looking to the nature around us, looking to ourselves, how complicated is the creation. This brings us to this kind of recognition, that I see God in His work. Another level, or another experience of recognizing His presence also, is through touching our hearts. Maybe this doesn't happen often, but sometimes when we come to a certain service, we attend a liturgy or participate in kind of a revival, then we feel something different. We identify this experience with recognizing God's presence, exactly like what happened with the two disciples of Emmaus. They were traveling and the Lord Jesus was talking with them. They did not know that He is Christ. But at the end, they said to one another, "Did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us on the road and while He opened the scriptures to us?" When sometimes you read the Bible and you feel like something touched your heart. You hear a sermon, you feel like God was talking to me in person. It's not Abuna and it's not the congregation. It is God and myself. When you pray and you feel like this prayer was different, I prayed many times and I opened the Agbaya many times, but today I have a different experience. This is recognition of God's presence. Another form of this recognition is also through the peace He brings to those who are pure in heart. We know this kind of beatitude. We heard it many times. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. How do they see God? The pure in heart see Him through the peace they enjoy. Because they are pure in heart, then they have no grudges. They have no covetousness, no envy. They live a simple life. They have their struggle, but there is nothing they are keeping inside against anyone. Those people enjoy some kind of peace, that it is the peace of the presence of God in their hearts. Another, again, experience we long to. God gave me this kind of purity where there is no love of sin, there is no grudges or envy or any kind of struggle in my heart. By then I will experience His presence. There is also another recognition is through the fulfillment and sense of purpose in those who live for Him. When my life is dedicated in whatever I am doing, in whatever kind of capacity I am assuming that I am a servant of God, by then I'll recognize His presence. God becomes meaningful. Whatever we are doing has a purpose, has something at the end that brings comfort to us. All of these kind of experience make us to feel God is here. I feel His presence, and this is the third level of seeing God. So we spoke about seeing His glory, understanding His will, and recognizing His presence. The last two are for all of us, something for all of us to struggle to attain. The first one is for God to discern if He's going to do it with any of us or not. Then moving to the last point, with the hindrances to seeing God. Why we find difficulty to recognize His presence? Why we find difficulty understanding His will? The first cause is definitely up to us, not willing to see Him. People see nature and glorify God. And people say nature and say, we were created from monkeys. So here again, the choice is us. Whatever we want. Why people say that we were created from lower creatures and we came from fish and all of these kind of things? It's one reason, very simple. I do not want to see God. It's exactly like I come to the church and see all of this artwork and I start to interpret them from natural causes. The hurricane that came last year brought some kind of like water and some dyes, and the wind came through all of these colors and made for us this kind of artwork. This absolute nonsense is what the people say about how we evolved from lower creatures. Why people come to this conclusion? It's one reason. Simply, they do not want God to exist. I do not want to see Him. It's exactly like saying, I'm closing my eyes and I say, no one is here. This does not change the fact. God is here. And God did all of this, but I do not want to see Him. The second reason why we don't see, or it is difficult for some to see God, is when you accept the dual life between godliness and sin. That we have two desires and two goals. One is for Sunday and one for other days. When I lead this kind of life, it's very difficult for me to recognize any presence of God. God will depart, and we will never be able to feel Him. If you want to feel His presence in your homes, your home should be a home where Christ can find rest. He can stay with you at your home. If at home there is kind of behavior that's not befitting his presence, how then can you say, I recognize God is here, he is among us? This duality hinders many people from experiencing God. And they go all the time speaking about God as a thing. God is some kind of a power. It's not a human, it's not a person I can deal with, I understand. They go all of their lives wondering, what is his will for me? And all of their experience will never reach the point where I feel God's presence. The third hindrance is the confusing emotions with the spirituality. We maybe have witnessed many forms of hysteria in some of the worship. We see it in some other churches. And people confuse this with spirituality. And when they cry and they raise their hand and sing and go into this kind of status, they assume that this is the presence of God among us. There is a big difference between emotions and spirituality. Emotions like a flare, something that can happen just by the impact of the atmosphere, it doesn't take you beyond the door of the church. Spirituality changes your life. If I'm a spiritual person, this means that my goal becomes spiritual, my life is different, I recognize what needs to be changed. Emotions get us into the thrill of the experience. And again, people confuse this with seeing God and saying in other churches, there are some kind of like fire going within the people. You find people like this, usually most of the time, they change churches often. Why? Because the experience is gone. Let us go into another place where they are going to give me the same sense. Another hindrance also is avoiding the fellowship with Christ and the cost of following him. If you want to see Christ, you have to go where he is. He is usually praying. If you want to see him, you pray also. At the time of the fast, he is fasting. If you want to experience his presence, just have fellowship with him, fast with him. Christ was serving. Christ was humble. Christ was accepting maybe the hurt without a retaliation. If you want to experience his presence, go where he is. If he is fasting and you are not, if he is praying and you are not, if he is serving and you are not, if he is enduring and you are not, how can you say that I can recognize his presence, I can feel him, or I can see him? There is no way you can get there. The last reason that hinder us from seeing God are the distractions. Every day you are overwhelmed with many distractions that take our eyes, even inside the church. I like this passage from one of the books by C.S. Lewis called The Screwtape Letters. It's about an imaginary story of Satan mentoring one of the devils to tempt a person. So this young devil came to Satan and said to him, the man I am entrusted to make him to go astray, now is going to the church. What should I do? Satan assured him, no problem, doesn't mean anything that this man is starting going to the church. And then he gave him this advice. He told the devil, the apprentice, keep him aware of little things, he said. Keep him aware of the fact that this usher is a hypocrite, that this man's shoes squeak, that this lady's hat does not fit properly. Keep him so aware of little things that he will never see Christ. I read this and I laugh to myself when I come to the church often and I get distracted with many little things and I waste experience. Sometimes I didn't maybe enjoy the whole thing because of these kind of little things. These little things that happen to us at church, at home, everywhere, days pass, days goes, and then we lose the experience. We do not see or enjoy him and his presence. Today, Christ, when he reveals his glory, he is giving us this glimpse, telling us, I want to be manifested in your life, to show my glory to you. It is up to us. Maybe we cannot see him with our eyes, but definitely we can understand his will and we can recognize his presence if we are sincere in our relationship with Him. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.